Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Thursday. We've hit a lot of different stories today, but I'm very excited about this one. I'm speaking now with New York City Councilman Joe Borelli, frequent guest of the Grace Curley Show. Joe, thank you so much for joining me.
Grace, thank you for having me. You're killing it lately. You're all over the place. You're doing great. I'm just glad you invite me.
Oh, thank you so much. And I want to say, Joe, happy one-year anniversary of the giant Q-tip on the Cuomo Brothers Comedy Hour. Things have really changed in 1 year for Andrew Cuomo.
Things have made a turn for the worse for the brothers Cuomo now, as I hope we get into.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. I first was going to have you on for the $5 million book deal, which is just completely outrageous. I think at this point, each book that he sold was worth like $100 or $103. But their most recent story is that he was being advised by Chris Cuomo from CNN. What do you think about all this?
Well, I mean, I don't blame Chris Cuomo in the sense that this is what brothers do, right? Brothers don't shake hands, they got a hug. But when you're the holier-than-thou giant CNN primetime tool who reminded all Americans how terrible they were for questioning Christine Blasey Ford, saying how we must believe all women, you can't beat the strategy advisor to Governor Cuomo when his strategy, by all accounts, by any observation, is to discredit his accusers, denounce women who are making serious claims against him, lie about nursing home cover-ups, and do a host other things that only seem to benefit him personally and financially. You can't beat both of those characters. And that's where Chris Cuomo seems to be in a jam right now, because the evidence is coming out that he was those people.
Yeah, and Joe, I want to ask a little bit, because I was talking to Howie earlier, and he's kind of curious. The people who are getting this priority testing, I know that some of them were members of the Cuomo family. Do you have any idea who other people were in New York who are getting some of this VIP treatment?
Yeah, I mean, the most notable person is Giorgio DeRosa, who is Melissa DeRosa, who is the governor's right-hand woman. It's her father. And maybe that wouldn't sound so cynical if it wasn't also revealed to the audience that Giorgio DeRosa happens to be one of the top lobbyists in Albany, the top person lobbying state government. And what a coincidence. He is called a special person by Governor Cuomo, and at a time when life-saving tests and scarce resources were unavailable to most New Yorkers, it was just a matter of time and just a matter of course for the governor to make sure these special people got access to tests.
I'm speaking with Joe Borelli. He's a New York City councilman. And I have to ask you, Joe, I mean, as far as on the national scale, I think most people are done with Andrew Cuomo. Politically, he seems dead in the water. But what's happening in New York? Are people fed up? Do people want to change? Do people understand what's happening? Or is it just kind of like, eh, it's just, you know, par for the course of Cuomo?
The sad thing is that New York is such a blue state that if Andrew Cuomo is the Democratic nominee, he would still be the front runner for governor. And that really is an indictment of how uneducated and disconnected some voters are in this state. And it's very sad. I just don't think he makes it to that point. You know, he has ruled with a culture of fear and bullying around the Capitol. These are the kind of things that have been whispered about him in Albany since probably the 80s when he worked for his father. And it's only now that actually, you know, legislators even, I mean, these are people we elect to go speak their mind. And yet these are the people who used to cower in fear when the governor wouldn't invite them to a press conference or would say bad things about them in public. And they're all starting to push back. So I do believe that there is some momentum for impeachment. I do believe there is real momentum behind both the federal investigation and the Attorney General's investigation. She just issued subpoenas to four of the female accusers of Governor Cuomo, and she's already interviewed them. They've already been cooperative. So you're only going to get them now on the stand under oath when you think this is going to go somewhere. You're not going to do that for them to make an accusation that he cheated in solitaire, right? So I think there is going to be some real progress on both fronts.
And I just want to say, because it's something I've been watching you and Ron Kim and Janice Dean for a long time fighting this battle against Andrew Cuomo, and it was about the nursing home scandal. And because of the sexual harassment allegations, and I'm not trying to downplay them at all, I think those women are all incredibly brave for coming forward. I hope they get their time to share their truth, and I hope they get justice. But it does feel, as far as the media is concerned now, that everything else involving the nursing home numbers and the fact that he was trying to rewrite history in order to write a book and make $5 million off of it, that's all kind of getting overshadowed by these new allegations. Do you notice that trend?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly, you paraphrased it pretty accurately. He was trying to use government resources to rewrite history, to publish a book. And then you have people like, you know, Chris Cuomo, who is his own personal Bill Shakespeare on CNN, vouching for and verifying this hero myth that Governor Cuomo tried to make himself out to be. And in reality, The guy is the comic book villain that we're all kind of starting to meet and learn about, especially people who really haven't been around the Albany scene for a long time.
And we were just talking a little bit about how blue New York is, but I mean, there has to be, I listen to a lot of different podcasts of people who live in New York City, especially, and the crime rate there is just astronomical right now. It's you can't go on the New York Post, and obviously that's New York based, but all of the stories are horrific, whether it's on public transportation or in Times Square. There's stabbings. There's so many things. And then on the other hand, you have all these politicians who are running on defund the police. Do you think that the city is going to be able to take much more of this?
Well, it's funny. You mentioned conservative podcasts of New Yorkers. There's about 10 of us and we're all friends, which is kind of funny in and of itself. But look, there's actually been a change in rhetoric since the shooting that grabbed headlines in Times Square a couple of weeks ago. Some of the leading mayoral candidates realized that it doesn't help them to say defund the police anymore. And you saw some of them, specifically Andrew Yang and Eric Adams, actually, basically say, yeah, of course the police are going to be part of our solution under my administration. Again, that's a far cry from the just blanket defund the police that they were all saying when they all tried to chase the far left. Is that progress? Yeah, I should hope so. But it shows to me that New Yorkers are really feeling the uptick in crime. Shooting happens in Times Square. It grabs headlines. We send our detectives to, in this case, Florida, to catch the guy. We flood Times Square with cops. We don't have the police resources to flood every unknown corner in the outer boroughs that are accounting for the majority and the volume of the uptick in crime. These aren't happening in posh Midtown. So you're seeing the effects of defund the police in those neighborhoods, and I think people who live there are finally starting to get fed up, and they should, with constant petty crimes and gun battles that are happening.
Yeah, and I think there was a narrative for a long time that, you know, us conservatives were overblowing what's happening in New York. But I'll be the first one to tell you that I hate seeing it like this. I had so many friends who lived in New York City who had the best times of their lives there that would like nothing more than to move back and have it, you know, flourishing. And they talk to me about the different places they go on Saturday, and they'd go here to shop and this coffee shop. And it's sad, Joe. No one wants to see it like this. I see the people on Fox News who used to talk about the city with such love, and you got the sense that they had such fun lives, and they're all begging Fox to move somewhere else, you know, to move them to Florida or to Texas. It's sad.
Yeah, I mean, think about them specifically, right? These are all people who are high earners, who are outgoing, gregarious people by nature. And they probably did, and I know some of them, and then you've noticed some of them, and they probably really did enjoy living the lifestyle of an upper class or wealthy person in New York City. It was great, and even Fox News talent was willing to pay the premium and higher taxes to live in a place like New York. Fast forward, you know, 2-3 years, suddenly that premium becomes a burden when you realize, you know, this is not a great place for my kids to go. This is not a great place to raise my family. The restaurant I like happened to be closed now because of overburdensome regulations pending from COVID. And yeah, they're now saying, why don't we go to Nashville? Why don't we go to Miami? Why don't we go elsewhere? And the funny part is you're actually seeing some of their broadcasts being done not from the Fox studio, which is something a lot of people don't realize, how many of their anchors are not actually in Fox in New York City or Washington.
Yeah, no, I've noticed that as well. Now, Joe, my last question for you. I'm speaking with Joe Borelli, New York City councilman. He's a wonderful tweeter. People can follow you on Twitter, Joe. But I do have to ask you about Bill de Blasio. He's been in a remarkably good mood for someone whose city is kind of in turmoil. And I think it's because for once in his career, he's not the most hated man in New York. Andrew Cuomo has stolen that from him. So he goes out and does these press conferences, and they look like the opening of Saturday Night Live. He's got jerseys on, and he's eating hamburgers. Is he losing his mind? What is happening with Bill de Blasio?
The irony is that those are kind of the things we expect our mayors to do, right? When the restaurant opens somewhere, right, you expect to see the mayor with a photo with him in the big sandwich or whatever it is, right? And Bill de Blasio just didn't do those hokey things for so long that now when he rides the Cyclone to reopen it and, you know, poses with a hot dog in his mouth, it is kind of new. And to be honest, I'm glad he's having fun. I'm glad he's working and having fun doing it. I say this to everyone. Bill de Blasio has some good qualities about him. He's very smart. People don't believe that. They don't want to believe that. They don't have to believe that. He's a smart guy. He's witty. He's very funny. And I believe he should end up at Fox News. Speaking of Fox News, he would be their most sought after, you know, opposite talking point person or their villain in every segment, because he has the ability to demonstrate progressive talking points pretty well, and he's kind of funny, and he's kind of doofy, and he makes dad jokes. He'd be great. I hope they hire him.
Yeah, he'd be like a Juan Williams, you know, he'd be the other side that was likable enough, but drove people crazy. I see that. Joe, I love having you on. You always throw something in there that I didn't expect. I didn't expect that, but I can understand your point. Joe is on Twitter at Joe Borelli NYC. Thank you very much for joining the Grace Curley Show, and enjoy your 1 year anniversary of the giant cotton Q-tip.
Thank you.
Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. But something happens when you do that, Jared. The wind comes in, and the pollen comes in.
Yes, the pollen comes in, and no amount of Cuomo-sized Q-tips can clear up your nose. But what you need is you need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. I apologize for the visual.
Hey, it's the anniversary. If you're ever going to do it, it's
you
today.
You got to do it. I have very small nose, if anybody's asking. No, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is great because you just plug it into your wall, you turn it on, and almost immediately it starts cleaning the air around you, purifying the air around you. It eliminates pollen, it eliminates allergens, odors, any type of pollutants in the air. It can get rid of viruses, anything nasty in the air, especially this time of year. The pollen is gross. And even if you have your windows open, there's still pollen coming in. Once it hits that like thunderstorm force field, bang, you are breathing clean air.
It's also great if you cook steaks in your house. We used to cook a lot of steaks outside in the grill, but now we're big on the cast iron skillet. But it creates a lot of steam and the smell can kind of linger. Turn this sucker on and it's done for. Now, if you guys want to get your hands on one of these, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE at checkout. One more time, that's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. We will be back on the other side. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, where you can get a real smorgasbord of topics. I mean, if you had said to me, Jared, we're going to have Joe Borelli on, and he's going to tell you that Bill de Blasio would be good on Fox News, I wouldn't have guessed it. But Now that I think of it, I know exactly what he means. Is like Bill de Blasio compared to Andrew Cuomo, he's starting to look really good as more of this Andrew Cuomo stuff unravels. Speaking of Governor Andrew Cuomo, there's another governor that we have to worry about, Governor Charlie Baker, or as Joe Biden likes to call him, Charlie Parker. Or does he like to call him Charlie Bacon? Who called him Charlie Bacon?
Ed Markey called him Charlie Bacon.
All right, so he's got a lot of nicknames. But today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, J.J. Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com or call them today at 800-521-0111. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
How will you trigger Charlie Baker this summer? Will you be familiar with people? Will you not play by the rules? Will you not be a team player, or will you play basketball?
I'm feeling like a basketball Jones. I think I'll be playing basketball.
Play basketball is up to 4%, still in last place. Not play by the rules is in the lead at 58%. Not be a team player polling at 21%. And be familiar with people polling at 17%.
All right. Now, there is another story that I want to talk about here. It got a lot of play yesterday. Chicago mayor, you guys know who we're talking about, Lori Lightfoot. She's been in the news a lot lately. She's the face of Chicago. She's refusing to be interviewed by white reporters. Now, I know what you're thinking. This sounds racist, but she has explained why this is her new
racism,
tactic.
Racism.
She claims treating people differently according to their race is a statement against racism, calling out the overwhelming whiteness and maleness of Chicago media outlets, editorial boards, the political press corps, and yes, the City Hall press corps specifically. She further argues that the predominance of white men among Chicago reporters, I'm sorry, I gotta learn to emphasize things better. Let me try that again. She further argues that the predominance of white men among Chicago reporters forces her to take on the labor of educating them against their implicit bias. So if you are a white reporter, you will not have access to Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. I'm sure all of the reporters who are able to interview her are so excited that they have that pass.
Well, there was actually a Latino reporter who had an interview scheduled with Mayor Lightfoot and canceled it because of this policy. So people are fighting back against Mayor Beetlejuice.
I just don't understand. And I've had people call up before and say, oh, it's reverse racism, but it's not. It's just racism is racism. Treating people differently based off the color of their skin is racism.
You're white, then you've been effing.
The hypocrisy. Yeah, Chicago Tribune reporter Gregory Pratt took to Twitter to speak out about the issue. He was granted an interview with Lightfoot, but he turned it down due to the practices demonstrated by the mayor. You know, the sad thing is that Mayor Lori Lightfoot was so desperate at one point to get kids back in school that she kind of started pushing back against the teachers' unions. Then it came out that she was actually giving more money to the police. So now she's trying her absolute hardest to virtue signal to the woke crowd so she doesn't get canceled. And this is part of that, by not letting white people interview her. And there was something else she did the other day, Jared, that I'm blanking on.
She's done a lot of stupid things. I don't really remember.
Yeah, she's the face of Chicago. She's the face of Chicago. Speaking of politicians, Florida private jet scandal threatens Gretchen Whitmer's political future. If you missed the story, Gretchen Whitmer is one of these governors who put on strict lockdowns for all of the people in her state, and then she got in a plane to go see her dad in Florida. I mean, it's just classic double standards. This is what the Democrats do. Hopefully it threatens her political future, but I don't have that much faith in the voters, unfortunately. We'll be back with producer's picks. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I'm having such a fun Thursday. We've had great guests, great food. What more can you ask for? And now it is time for what some people say is the best part of the Grace Curley Show. It's time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
All right, so I'm trying to debate right now what Jared's going to have more of. Will he have more Star Trek stories or more obituaries today? I'm going to say Star Trek.
Actually, no. We've got a Star Trek-free day today.
Really?
Yeah, it's somebody's birthday, so I figured I'd give you a little treat.
Okay, there we go.
All right, well, we're going to start off. Our main listeners are probably aware of this, but breaking news, Charlie Baker, you're now the third worst governor in the state. Governor Janet Mills has signed an executive order to end Maine's indoor mask mandate, except for school and childcare settings, effective this coming Monday.
All right, so this coming Monday, that puts it at, what is this Monday, the 23rd?
Yes.
The 24th. Thank you. My VIP just said that, the 24th. And we are not going mask-free until the 29th.
Yes. Once again, Chuck, come on.
And I just have to say, I know that because we've all gone this long, that maybe to the regular person, it's like, what's another week of our lives? You know, what's a couple more days in the mask? But for restaurants, it makes a big difference. That's a full week where other restaurants in neighboring states are going to have the advantage over them. But
yep.
Charlie Baker doesn't care. He's just counting down the clock.
So Maine mask Karens, get it in now, because come Monday, you can't.
Oh, can't you just hear them? You can hear the Karens crying. They're so sad.
I gotta wear your mask up there. All right. We talked about a little bit earlier how Nancy Pelosi and basically all the Democrats and most of their cohorts in the media are trying to push the January 6th narrative that it was Pearl Harbor 2, the Civil War 3. You know, you just don't know what it is. Well, House Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has put the House passed January 6th commission on the legislative calendar.
Oh,
according to Schumer, Republicans in both chambers are trying to rewrite history in reality to or in fear of the former president Donald J. Trump.
Can I?
And he said the big lie again. There it is.
Can I just intervene here for a second? I understand never letting a crisis go to waste. And I understand that when something looks bad for Republicans, which January 6th did, I was not pleased with the fools that ran into the Capitol. I understand they want to get their political advantage out of that and use it as long as they can. But we're at a point now where they are beating a dead horse. Like, it is over. You used it enough. You accomplished everything you could accomplish with that. Now, if anything, they're making fools of themselves, and people are going to start to see right through this. They're overplaying. It's like the classic Democrat move. They're overplaying their hand. It's not enough just to say January 6th was bad, Trump's bad, Republicans are evil. They're going to beat us over the head with it for the rest of our lives.
Like a fictitious fire extinguisher. But Mitch McConnell is not having any of this.
Am I not turtly enough for the turtle club?
Oh, hey now. He looks more like a tortoise. Mitch McConnell will publicly oppose the 1-6 commission after meeting with GOP senators yesterday.
Yeah, him and Kevin McCarthy aren't having it. I think it's a smart move.
Absolutely.
It's totally bogus that they need a commission into this. Like, what's the commission going to do? They're going to go on Reddit and look at a bunch of QAnon posts?
No, it's just they're just going to collect a paycheck. It's just another way to set up a commission.
It's just
a blue ribbon panel.
It's just another segment of the Hackorama. It's a way for them to get their brothers and sisters and sister-in-laws and aunts and uncles into the government to investigate January 6th, the worst day since the Civil War.
The only armed insurrection where there were no arms and nobody has been arrested for an insurrection.
And the only person who died, and it was very sad, but she wasn't she was one of the protesters.
Yes, she was shot by Capitol Police, who we still do not know that officer's name.
Now, that is something that they could investigate.
Yes, I'll do a blue ribbon panel for that.
I'm so sick of all these investigations. You know what I was thinking the other day? Sorry, Jared, I don't want to hijack producer's picks here, but I was just thinking the other day, all this money, we spend so much money on so much stupid stuff. And I know with government, there's a certain amount of waste. But can you imagine if they channeled this money into, I don't know, like the public schools or maybe the potholes in the street? Like, they can't figure anything out that would actually make the country look better or feel good or help people. But they can spend millions of dollars on hamsters in Pakistan and gender studies in Guatemala. I just don't. It's just wasteful. I don't like waste.
Our government is a mafia that funnels taxpayer money back to itself through endless wars and foreign aid.
Yeah, I hope everyone's happy about this 1/6 commission, because you're paying for it. Look in the mirror. You are the investigator.
All right, we have this from the, you don't say so, file. So apparently Chinese authorities a few days ago released videos of Uyghurs saying that there is no abuse happening and there's no genocide happening. And they were praising the Chinese Communist Party. Well, a text sent to the Chinese Associated Press suggests that those videos showing the Uyghurs praising the CCP were not made voluntarily. You don't say.
Yeah, I mean, I could have figured that one out. I'm sure LeBron James is shocked, though.
Yes, LeBron actually hit a three-pointer at the buzzer last night, so he will be going to the playoffs.
I saw that. I could hear the cheers from all the way from China. Yes. Everyone was so happy for him. I stole that from Stephen Miller, but it's a pretty good one.
Also not cheering voluntarily. All right, it's been a while, but everybody's favorite weaponized climate teenager.
How dare you?
Greta Thunberg.
It's been a while since we've heard from Greta.
It has been. I don't know if she's been in boats or if she's been admiring her statues, but I got to say, I think Greta's been activated, and I really am enjoying this, because remember when she went after the Biden administration, she threatened to write their history and, you know, all the other Batman-esque supervillain stuff.
Yeah, and she's another one. What's up with the history? For people who have no interest in studying history, all they talk about is what history will say about the current time. You notice that? It's like history.
How long do you honestly believe that people in power like you will get away with it? How long do you think you can continue to ignore the climate crisis, the global aspect of equity and historic emissions, without being held accountable? You get away with it now, but sooner or later people are going to realize what you have been doing all this time. You still have time to do the right thing and to save your legacies, but that window of time is not going to last for long. What happens then? We, the young people, are the ones who are going to write about you in the history books.
She is. I know there's a new Batman movie coming out and they have like a villain. She could easily be the villain in a Batman movie. She sounds like she's threatening people's lives. She's like, you have 48 hours to save the planet or else. She sounds crazy. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that, but
Sunspot, the supervillain. I got to say, though, what I like about Greta now is she went after Biden and she solar panel burned, I guess would be the term, John Kerry. When, remember, John Kerry was talking about how, and this is from Greta's tweet, quote, 50% of the carbon reductions needed to get to net zero will come from technologies that have not yet been invented.
Yes.
Unquote. Greta replied, great news. I spoke to Harry Potter, and he said he will team up with Gandalf, Sherlock Holmes, and the Avengers and get started right away.
What am I missing here? She's dunking on John Kerry?
Yes, she is dunking on John Kerry by saying that the goal is ridiculous and that it's fantasy land to think that it's going to happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, didn't he say at one point he wanted to get rid of all the CO2?
Yes, all the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
So I wasn't crazy.
No more trees and no more breathing.
I wasn't crazy about that idea. I could maybe come around to it, but I like CO2. Yeah, that's weird that she's dunking on him for that. I thought she had a bunch of these ideas too.
Yeah, I can't figure her out. Sometimes she seems like she's like a double agent. I really don't know. I don't know. I don't know if she's a white hat. I don't know what's going on with Greta.
Jared's one of these people that thinks there's a lot of double agents.
There are white hats and black hats. We can say that. All right. So 2021 graduates, if you're not getting insulted by Joe Biden at your military academy graduation, take heed and square your meats or square your medals or whatever you're supposed to square. As Joe said, Kamala Harris is to keynote a star-studded CNN special honoring the class of 2021.
Oh my God. Make it stop. Is this a virtual thing?
Graduation 2021, a CNN special event will air this Sunday, May 23rd, 7 p.m. on CNN, CNN International, and CNN en Español.
Are they just like trying to see how low the ratings can get before they get pulled off the air? What are they thinking?
Listen to this lineup. So it will. The keynote address will be Vice President Kamala Harris. Musical performances from Portugal the Man, Andy Grammer, Lucas Graham, and Ear Candy, and students from the Duke Ellington School of Arts in Washington, D.C., and the Fiorello H. LaGuardia High School Music and Art Performing Arts Center in New York City will also perform. The special will be hosted by Brianna Keeler and Don Lemon.
Oh my gosh. Wait, hold on. Ear Candy. Am I supposed to know who that is?
I have no idea who most of those people are.
I'm pretty hip. I mean, I'm only 28, and I only know Andy Grammer, kind of.
Yeah, I'm good in music, but I'm at a loss there. And I know Portugal the Man.
It's so sad. It's like these graduates haven't been through enough. You know, this last year hasn't been tough enough. Now they have to sit through a Kamala Harris keynote speech.
Yeah.
Well, what is this? This is cruel and unusual punishment.
Yes, it's taking off the mask and slapping you in the face with it.
You know, my graduation speech, or the one I watched when I was at Providence, a senior at Providence, it was, I'm blanking on the woman's name, sadly. I'll get it during the break. But she got up and she made like a 3-minute maybe speech. And she said, I know you guys don't want to sit here and listen to me talk, so enjoy the day. And I swear to God, my entire life, she goes down as the best speech I've ever heard because it was so short and everyone in the auditorium, in the hot auditorium, was like, oh my God, the parents could have cried. They were so happy. And I've been to other people's where they go on for like 25 minutes. It's brutal. I'm sure Kamala Harris will keep her short though.
Now, Grace, you are a millennial, correct?
Yes.
You identify as a millennial, you are a millennial.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I do.
Well, good news for you. You are not a geriatric millennial.
I've heard about
which this. Is a new term that has been coined. This apparently is for the, they were at one point, they were Xennials and Cuspers, whatever. Anyway, people born from, I actually am Gen X. I was born in 1979, so I hit Gen X. But if you were born between 1980 and 1985, you are now considered a geriatric millennial.
You're older than a geriatric millennial.
Yes, I am a spry young Gen Xer. I just got under the wire for Gen X.
That's a nice way to put it. Yeah, I've heard about this. I'm on the younger end. But I have to say, I was telling one of my VIPs earlier, I know millennials, trust me, we got our issues. We 1,000% have our issues, but we are nothing compared to, what are they called?
Gen Z.
Gen Z. Oh my God. The Gen Zs. Beware the Gen Zs. They're crazy. I had TikTok for a couple months during lockdown because there's nothing else to do. And I'd watch a video. It'd be like a funny video of something. And I would go on the comments and the things that these people write, the things that offend them, things you wouldn't even think of, that offend them, and they're all writing and they're all liking each other's things and they're all offended all the time. I'm like, we are in trouble. I thought we were in trouble with my age. The people coming up behind me, whew, good luck.
And happy birthday to Cher. The performer turned 75 today.
I dressed up as Cher 2 years ago for Halloween. Love Cher. Her politics, not so crazy about, but some really good songs.
So Cher, if you're hearing this on Jupiter, happy birthday.
Yeah. I also sang a Cher song at a talent show when I was 10 years old. I believe it was If I Could Turn Back Time. She's got some good hits. She got some good hits, and she looks great, too. She looks great. All right, guys, when we get back, we'll be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr about all of the issues of the day, including Andrew Cuomo. So don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. I'm very, very honored to be joined by radio talk show host and legend, Howie Carr. Thanks for coming on the show, Howie.
I'm also a 10-time Emmy Award winner.
No, you have to yell it when you say it, Howie.
Not really. That was the saddest thing I've heard in a long, long time.
You know what? It was so sad, it's worth replaying. Can we get that? This is Geraldo Rivera telling us all just how important he is.
I'm really? An out of control.
Can you calm down?
Yeah, you really
I'm
need
a 10-time
calm down.
Emmy winner
Maybe
with
try
deep
a
experience in the
now,
Middle East.
Guys,
have you
guys,
ever even okay. been there?
Oh, it was like teenage girls fighting, Howie.
Well, it was one teenage girl fighting. The other one was just sitting there amused. I've never thrown a piece of paper at during a live shot, and I've never turned my back on the screen either. I mean, it was utterly crazy.
It was, but to your point, he came back today.
He did.
He had another at bat, and he tried again, and that's what TV's all about, I hear.
That's right.
You know more about live shots than I do.
But that's what it is. I mean, you just got to go out there and you know, as I always say, you know, you strike out, in the second inning, and you get another at bat in the fifth inning or the fourth inning.
Yeah, whenever I have some sort of opportunity and it doesn't go well, I'll call Howie up and he says, "There's always another at bat, Grace. You'll get to try again."
Yeah, look at those end of the year stats. If you play every day, you get 500 at bats.
Exactly. All right, Howie, so what is your thought? I want to run through a couple topics with you. Number one, it's the anniversary of the Q-tip swab on CNN, and there's more stories coming out about Andrew Cuomo. You notice how, Howie, a story will break right after a scandal. So after the $5 million book deal, he starts to loosen things up more. He'll end the mask mandate after a certain scandal. So what do you think of this most recent one that he was being advised by Fredo?
Well, what gets me about this one is, and I've noticed this before with him, is that these stories are breaking simultaneously in different papers. You know, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. That's when you know you got a big scandal on your hands, when there's plenty of stuff to go around for all the newspapers. It's not just one thing going. There's all different kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know, and it just seems...
It's kind of like the Boston Police Department right now, you know, and City Hall. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, and he just doesn't seem to ever really care enough to shut up about it. He keeps going on these press conferences and just talking and talking.
Well, he thinks he can just ride it out. I mean, that's the whole point. Like your guest said earlier, Joe Borelli, they have such a dominance. It's a one-party state now. All the people who voted for Pataki and Bloomberg and Giuliani, they all live in Florida now.
No, exactly. Howie, what do you have planned for the show today?
Got all kinds of stuff here. We're going to have on Tom Hodgson from Bristol County. The Biden administration cut off his contract. And we got a cheap bastard deal. You got any of those Follansbees left?
No, they're sold
they're
out.
They're gone. That's good. Okay, Yippee. Well, we got another cheap bastard deal in New Hampshire for you.
All right, everyone, tune into Howie's show coming up next.